Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Spirit Therapy. Today, we're talking about button heads and heads button. So, of course, we're going to start with something like this.
What I just heard.
Oh, that's not it at all. Oh, it's this one. Of course, that is a little bit of Seek and Destroy by Metallica, because sometimes that's how you feel, don't you? Especially when button heads. So welcome, everyone. I hope you're having a lovely Monday. Happy June to all of you. My name is Nicole Tomasini, and we're talking about stuff from a spirit therapy point of view. And so today I figured, you know, the topic came up, button heads, was spawned from my train ride back from Philadelphia visiting my mother. And I guess I'll just jump right into it. It's the quiet car. The quiet car got my goat today. Let me tell you a little bit about how I feel about the quiet car. So if you've ever been on Amtrak, some trains, if you're lucky enough, has a quiet car, which is basically that. Just shut up, ride. It's a library-like atmosphere. And I love it because, you know, I live in New York City and I like to have the train ride be a zen-like experience. Why not? It can be very relaxing. I think it's a beautiful landscape, even when you go through the ghetto. It's lovely. It's Philadelphia, and that's where I was born. So, okay, so quiet car. You want to enjoy yourself. But then, for some reason, people have a real tough time with the quiet car. Okay, so first they used to have these little signs, you know, at the top. Maybe you see them, maybe you don't. All right, fine. A lot of people don't look around. They don't know it's a quiet car. All right. Some people, I realize, do know it's a quiet car and could give a rat's ass and continue their crappy little conversation in the corner, and it makes me want to punch them in the face, to be perfectly honest. Because why? I have to ask myself why, especially as a spirit therapist. I mean, okay, once again, I'm an Aries. I'm a warrior, like so many of us. And sometimes we go right into, you know, punch him in the face and go, like, you know. But you got to ask yourself, why? Why does this warrant this level of annoyance? And this is why I feel so fondly about the quiet car, because it's a library-like atmosphere. And libraries are also a place of quiet that are being threatened, just like our forests and our zen-like places. So to be perfectly honest, I don't go to the library very much, but when you are in the mood for the library, and it got me through college, library is very important. Just like church, just like going to a temple, just like any kind of a serene place, respect is needed. So when you don't respect it, it kind of makes me nuts. So today, I got on the quiet car, and a lot of times lately I've been avoiding quiet car because I get too annoyed. What's the difference? All right, you know, I travel with people all the time on the subway. It's fine. I don't care. Talk. I have my headphones. That's what they're for. I'll just tune you out. But there's something about knowing that we're in the quiet car and rules are being broken that I think should be enforced, and that makes me nuts. So this time I got on and went to the quiet car because it seemed to be the least crowded. And they have now printed papers on the seats, every seat, that says, welcome to the quiet car. This is how the quiet car works. Basically, if you want to talk, get the F out, go somewhere else. Otherwise, shut it and enjoy the ride. I was like, wow, all right. So Amtrak is respecting the rules of the quiet car. I have a newfound belief that this is going to work. And it was very, it wasn't very crowded at all. So I was like, all right, so, but what? I sit next to this older gay couple that's just, you know, yakety yak yakking and ticka 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 ticka. And I can hear them through my headphones and it's making me nuts. So I thought to myself, all right, so what do I do? What am I going to do? Should I say something? One of my instincts was to just take the paper and shove it in their face. It's in big, bold letters at the top. Welcome to the quiet car, underlined. I was just going to throw it in their lap. But I was like, all right, that's kind of maybe offensive. So do I say something? Do I just turn to them and say, hey, did you know this is the quiet car? Or how about a little respect for the quiet car? Second one's definitely a little more aggressive. Even though I use the word respect, how about a little respect? You know, it's kind of trying to get people to do stuff that I want to happen. So I was like, not to say that that's wrong, but, you know, that's what you're doing, just to acknowledge. And I was like, well, what's the other option? Well, I can move. So in a moment of, oh, for crying out loud, I just got up and moved. I thought, well, maybe they'll see this hurricane shifting seats away from them and they will just shut their mouths. But that's not how they felt, apparently, because they just kept going. They didn't even really seem to notice I was gone. And so I moved a couple seats away and I could still hear them. So then what? I was like, I can move all the way away. And then I went to the bathroom and I saw that the conductor is also talking quietly. I mean, very quietly, but to a passenger sitting there yakking away with her. I was like, all right, what's going on with the respect for the quiet car? So, but, you know, I had to ask myself, why is this so important? Do I need to be the one to instill these rules? Does it really matter? No, it really doesn't. Hey, Gia, how's it going? Nice to see you. Does it matter? I'm talking about the quiet car and how I feel the respect for the quiet car is very important. So at the end of the day, I did nothing. I just sat and listened to my music. I actually listened to one of our past blog radios. And, you know, went and it was fine. But this is not the first time it's happened. And I think this is a good setup for you know, when things annoy you, that it's always a personal thing. It's always something that pushes your personal button. Oh, I hate when people do X, Y, or Z. And people are going to do those things. But then we get a little bit into manifestation, or a lot, really, about what are you expecting and are you manifesting what you don't want instead of what you do want. You could ask that about the quiet car, maybe, because I do feel things about it and I do feel like, you know, it's some sort of desecration. Thanks, kids. Laughing at the title. Headbutts. Yeah, man. and also, you know, I mentioned that they were an older gay couple because, you know, I mean, I love gay guys are like my heart. I mean, I love them very, very much. And I love to see these older gay couples, because that just means that, you know, they probably went through it. I mean, gay people are being persecuted or discriminated against now too. But imagine, you know, if these guys were together for like 50 years. I mean, so, you know, kudos to you for staying together and just being yourselves and, you know. So, and honestly, I think that was the deciding factor as to why I didn't say anything. So how about that for reverse racism? I didn't want to say anything because I love gay people and I love old gay people. So maybe that's, yeah, I guess that's the lesson here, really. If you can find something that you love about the person that's annoying you or the situation, something that is not seek and destroy, then that can be helpful. As well as, you know, I guess that brings me to pity. Pity, empathy, sympathy, pity, compassion. That's the area we're in here. Because, okay, so empathy, you're feeling other people's woes, pains, emotions, and also you can put yourself easier in someone else's shoes and gain a broader perspective. Sympathy is worry-based and oh, I feel so bad for you, and oh, you know, I just wish I could do something, and oh, honey, I'm so hurt by this. You know, to hear this news, like, you know, you feel it. It's just, I find it's a very unhealthy, just not helpful vibration. I don't want to hear that, you know, like anything that some people could give sympathy to, like, just, I don't want to talk to them about it. You know, if somebody dies or something tragic happens, you don't want sympathy. You want someone who goes, wow, man, all right, you know, I got your back, I got your light, and some strength, you know, maybe a funny word or a kind word or whatever, but you see where the vibration is different. And then pity is interesting. Pity came up with Alex, the filmmaker. We were talking about a friend of his, and you know, you find out about what's going on with people's background and how they grew up and then what they're trying to do now and their confusion in their head with their belief systems of trying to be something they're not or whatever, running from themselves. And those kinds of behaviors can be very annoying because they manifest in all kinds of ways that are retarded. And you're just like, you know, if your head works, clearly this person's head is not working. There's too many factors and filters that's just gucking it up. So once you can get a perspective on why this person is acting this way and why is this person being so out of balance and doing things that make no sense to you, usually the answers are staring you in the face. They may be trying to cover them up. That may be part of why they are so annoying. Because you instinctually feel you smell something rotten, something, what are you hiding back there? When was the last time you took out the trash? You know, like that. But once you can go, oh, wow, man, you know, you couldn't because then, oh my God, that's a lot of trash. And wow, all right. So no wonder you kind of stink. And then, you know, there's all these circumstances. You go, all right, you know, wow, man, I'm glad I'm not that dude. You know, I'm kind of really glad I'm not you. And I pity you for the life that you're leading. Now, pity is still a little bit, I think, close to sympathy. But I think with anything, these things can go either way. If you use them correctly, they can be a great tool. Because there is a sense of saying, all right, you know, you are out of balance. And I am fully focused on being balanced. Whether I am or not, every moment of the day, all right, but I'm on it, and you're not. So noticing that you're in different spots here. And then that can diffuse the situation as well, so that, you know, everybody can chill out. Gia's writing things. Remember, I'm an intuitive hairdresser. Usually pertinent issue about the client jumps into my head. Ah, yes, because you're right there. You're in their cranium. As a question. Oh, it jumps into my head as a question. And then I say, I don't know where that came from. Your head? Interesting. So do you tell them that you get this sense of you know, what pops into your head? Do you ask them about it, or do you know, like, that's kind of like, yeah? She said yes. because, you know, some people can be real sensitive about things. It's right on. Yeah, I can imagine. Yeah, my massage therapist, he feels the same way. You know, he can feel, at least in a general way, different emotions that are stuck in different parts of your body, and he encourages you to release them through sound, breathing. And sometimes, you know, when I had some things stuck a few years ago, he would breathe with me, and I could feel that he was feeling it along with me as well. You know, you breathe through it, ha, ha, you know, just let it, whoo, 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 whoo. And, you know, I might as well release 20 sacks of bullshit when that happens. So that's pretty cool. I mean, obviously, it's part of your healing gift. And the head, you know, my father used to go for cranial, I don't want to call it healing, but it's had some sort of name. The concept was about that there are different plates in your head, kind of like we have the plates in the planet, the continents are shifting. We have plates that are all connected. It's not one solid bone. So that it's helpful to massage those creases, those where they come together, and they have maps, so you know, like, where they come together, and then your own head, to help you to be more connected to your spirit self and the universe and the energies around you. So, I mean, I love, that's one of my favorite things when I go to the hairdressers is a good head job. I have to share this at my hairdressers. by the way, in case you're interested and care what I think, if you want a massage, a fantastic massage, go to Massage America on Union Square. Gregory Serdal is the owner. That's my friend. And he has Groupons as well. You can get them for like half price. And I went to one of his younger new therapists, and amazing. I mean, he's amazing, but she was also amazing, and other people have gone. So that's awesome. And then the hairdresser Carlo Marco Studio. And that's in the West Village. And so they used to have this guy, Jeffrey, he was this bald, beautiful black man. And he used to give the best head. So everybody wanted head from Jeffrey. But Jeffrey's not there anymore. But anyway, so let's see what Gia's saying. It's just to help. I keep open to that. Yeah. Ah, sacral cranial therapy. Yes. Thank you. Wow. Fantastic. So do you do that? Like, are you up on that with the when you give head jobs? I don't know if you did do the washing, but anyway, how did we get on this? Let me see if I can scroll up being a hairdresser. Oh, I think I was just changing topics here. No, I have to. Okay. Anyway, I was talking about empathy and pity and all those things. So, and then compassion. I think that's the blanket of this whole thing, and really the most pleasing and generally useful of all four that I mentioned. Compassion. Because when you can have compassion, things just don't bother you as much. I mean, that's really the point. And that's why compassion and love, these gigantic subjects, feelings, I mean, and I say gigantic because they can just go in so many different directions, and so many of them are pleasing. You know, just like I pointed out, pity can go this way or that way. It's a little, you know, sympathy, not really crazy about it. Empathy, cool, very cool. But compassion, because, and I think when you can find something that you actually like I said, about the situation or the person, you know, focus on the strengths, focus on the positive, that is helpful. But again, there is something to be said for standing up for yourself and standing in your integrity and standing in your own truth. And again, I'll mention it again, we are moving into our throat chakra as a planet. So it's all about communication right now. And I think for a lot of us, especially those that historically have been repressed, such as women, gay, lesbian, transgender, any of that, children, old people, the elderly, I don't know what they like to be called, the wise ones, the awesome ones, the I should get a trophy because I lived this long. Once, you know, to have a voice, to really be able to speak your voice without going too far. And, you know, I'll tell you right now, I don't have the answer in some sort of neat little package for you, but it is definitely, because it's impossible. How could I? You have to find your own way of expressing yourself, because you're the only one that's you. And you're the puzzle piece that without you, the entire picture cannot be realized, cannot be self-actualized. I really like that. That was a Bashar that I was listening to. I think it's called You Are Unique, blah, blah, blah. You could probably find it that way. That everyone is a puzzle piece, is a piece of the puzzle. You are a certain shape. You're a certain color. I mean, you know, physically or spiritually, personality-ly, and you have to be what you are. You are that piece. So if one of the puzzle pieces decides that they don't want to be that piece anymore, well, then the whole puzzle is not going to be complete. And the puzzle to me is the whole world, or your community, or your family, be they blood or chosen, in your job, anything, just in life, just in existing. You were created for a reason. Everyone was created for a reason, and everybody is doing exactly what they need to do for whatever reason they need to do it, to learn whatever they want to learn. So if you decide to be a different kind of puzzle piece, then, you know, your true self, not what other people think you should be. That's not at all what I'm talking about. That's you trying to change your shape, you know, really being yourself, and only you know who that is. Then you're doing the greatest job you could do for the world, really. Because the universe doesn't tolerate a void. So you were created for a reason. So we must have you, all of you, exactly what you are, whatever that is. So yeah, so compassion, that's helpful for the headbutting. Gia says, I was a puzzle master, very young, loved it, never stopped. Oh my God, I have an app on my phone. I mean, addiction, yeah, that'd probably be mine right now. It's called Jigsaw Puzzle, and I got the pro one, and you can pick all different kinds of puzzles. Lately, I've been doing the Impressionist paintings, and by doing that, it breaks into 100 pieces, and you can either have them rotate or not. That's an option. It's obviously much harder when you have them rotate, and so you can see, like, why the Impressionist paintings are so amazing. because you have to line up their colors, you know, in groups. What's this corner, this blue with this little bit of red, and then this one's brown, and then you've got the sky and the grass. So everybody, but then certain colors, you can see where they're similar. You're like, oh, that's from the sky, but that's actually the color for dress. Chicken, chicken. And then you also see how they do these little tiny dudes, like in the balcony. There was one at the opera or something. And in corners, there's little people, little dudes with tuxes on, and you can tell that they're older. And, you know, his tux looks like this. He's sitting like this. And their head is like, if it's the size of a pin, it's amazing. And then, like, their whole body is, like, you know, just, like, not even a centimeter. You're like, wow, dude. Amazing. No wonder. So, anyway. Puzzle pieces. And now time invention is good. I'm just reading the chat room. I'm just doing it in real life. Now, holograms. Mind on overdrive in a 12-cylinder 70s machine. I think a lot of people could relate to that. Mind on overdrive in a 12-cylinder 70s machine. I like that. That's good. It denotes being built well. Maybe a little smoke's coming out. Yeah. Yeah. Anyway. All right. So I was going to play something, but I think it didn't necessarily go through. It was supposed to be 9 minutes, and I see I have 2.5 minutes of it. It was, you know, last minute I was looking for what to play, and I played my spin the wheel game, and I was like, what? And then click, 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 and I came up with, I called it the wobble. So Abraham was talking about the wobble. So, you know what, I think I'm going to play we'll see what happens in this 2.5 minutes, and then I'll go from there. Go. No, no. Is the Mercury retrograde yet? All kinds of things has ever happened. I guess it's the storm before the storm. I'm pretty sure it's June 7th that it starts. Anyway, this is it.
What I just heard is about stopping the wobble early, catching the contradictory thought early, because you don't want momentum to take it beyond. True enough, but because law of attraction, because I want to feel good there. Because having experienced clarity makes wobble no longer an option. Wobble was an option before I tasted clarity. I was willing to put up with it before. Well, that's what I'm wondering. Is the only reason that I don't do this because I'm willing to put up, I've put up with negative emotion, I've had these beliefs that I think I have to practice. That's why I've put up with the wobble, but...
Well, every day, do you get this idea of the wobble? Does it make sense to you? So, after a little while of feeling the clarity of... the clarity that comes as a result of momentum increasing on a subject, there's just an empowerment about that makes you unwilling to go back. Esther's been asking herself, because this conversation about wobble is new. It's a new, fresh realization. And she's been asking herself a lot in the last few days about different beliefs as she finds an idea will occur to her, and as she will start to follow the idea, this is really important to acknowledge. When an idea is born, any beliefs that you currently hold about it that flow with it or against it come to the surface. Any beliefs that are still active in your experience. So the beliefs the hindering beliefs show themselves to you and give you an opportunity to work the wobble out of them or not. That's really what expansion is about. It's working. And so Esther's been saying to herself, as an idea will occur to her, and then right on the heels of this fresh idea will come all of the reasons why it might not be a good idea. And then she's acknowledging, all right, I got a wobble.
And that's all we got, folks. But I think the gist is clear. The wobble, later she explained about the wobble. It's not what it's called, but whatever. Actually, if you go on Z Mahoon, M-A-H-O-O-N, she just posted it, so it's her most recent post. But the idea of the wobble is basically when you're out of balance or something shook you and you feel that, I don't know if I like this, or maybe it's stronger, maybe it's, I hate when this happens. You know, like the quiet car story. So, but then to look at your belief system and see where and why you have this kind of reaction and to apply it to the quiet car story, what's my belief system? Why do I get so annoyed? It's not that I don't like to hear people's voices. That's what I do for a living. I want to hear all about you, you know. But I mean, of course, you know, when you're in that kind of a situation, you don't necessarily need to hear, it's different. But still, you know, in general, people's voices don't bother me. But why? It's about respect, really, and about respecting things that are sacred and thinking about other people. And if a space is created, to respect that sacred space. But again, it is all about free will, and everyone has it, and not everyone thinks the Amtrak quiet car is like a temple. So I'm expecting people to think of the quiet car the same way that I do, which is setting me up for resistance. Because I want it to go a certain way, even though I have no control over the situation, because random people are always going to be a part of it. So what do I do for myself to be able to ride the quiet car? So here are your options. Ride the quiet car, or don't ever ride the quiet car. Ride the quiet car with like the savior, the Knights Templar of the quiet car. You are going to defend anybody says a peep. You're going to be like, shut up. I mean, I don't really feel a need to be a policeman. That's not fun to me, and it's not worth it. Like, now all of a sudden I feel like I'm the policeman of the quiet car, and I don't want to be that. So what do I do? I mean, seems the most obvious would be to ride the quiet car, because it's not like it's all terrible, and the chances of it being quieter are high. So think of it as the, you know, less talking car. I think I'm going to do this. Think of it as just the less noise car, not the quiet car. Maybe it's the name that's getting me all, you know, wound up. Quiet. This isn't quiet. Make it quiet. So, yeah. And then also having a sense of humor, very helpful to just be like, you know, you could do a little manifestation game and go, all right, let's see how many people cannot respect the quiet car this time. Let's see how many retards are just going to be yakety fucking yak yakking away. And see what happens. That could be interesting. Or just free yourself. I mean, that's really my gist of when heads butt, what do you do? The best answer is to free yourself. How do you free yourself? Well, you look at what's happening. Why am I getting so annoyed by this person's actions and this situation? And it always has something to do with you and your belief system. I don't like it when I think this should be this. Whatever. But those are good starts. And then give a minute to think about, use your empathy skills and go, all right, if I were this person and I did these things, and maybe you know them before, so you go, okay, so I look at all the things that they've done prior, now they're doing this. What do I know about this person? And put the pieces together and go, all right, maybe they're feeling jealous. Maybe they're feeling fearful. Maybe they're angry because I know this is going on in their life and that's making them angry, and maybe they can't express it in their situation, the other situation. So maybe they're taking it out on me. Is this a safe place? I mean, anybody who has children, and especially teenagers, Gia, I know you can relate to this. Teenagers will be the first one to crap on the parent that loves them the most. That the love is completely apparent because they need to just let it out somewhere in a safe place. So maybe you're that safe place. Or maybe you are standing in your integrity and you seem to have everything together and this person does not. And is trying to act like they have it all together, but they really don't. And so you are just this glaring reminder of what they are not. Talked a little bit about that, and I don't know, I think it was Who Are You, the past show. You know, but you're just, that seems to be your job with this person. Just being an example of what it could be like to live in your truth and enjoy your life, may piss them off. And they can, you know, go really haywire, like a live wire, just wah, 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 just, you know, F you, and da, 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 and how could you, and who do you think you are? Any of those kinds of statements are definitely, oh my, what's happening with you, should be the next thing that happens in your head. And maybe it flies out of your mouth and, you know, you've got a finger wag going on. Da, da, da. If you didn't, I can't stand when you know, any of that talk, it's out of balance talk. I mean, could you imagine the Dalai Lama talking like that? I mean, I don't think he ever really talks like that. I don't think anyone on a certain level ever really talks like that, because once you know anything about free will and the oneness, that kind of approach, all right, you know, it's a free country. It's not a free country, but free will, that's what we really mean. Free will, you do what you want. I just don't necessarily feel that way, and I don't need to get into that. So maybe I'll talk a little bit about that, because thinking about headbutts, I thought, well, that's Mars, right? The planet of the bringer of war. That's also the strategists and the art of war, Sun Tzu. Definitely a good idea in life. I mean, you hear that Wall Street dudes and corporate dudes and, you know, dudes meaning men and women, those gentes, those people, a lot of them have read The Art of War. Why? Because, you know, we're not lining up guys on battlefields, but the principles are the same with any kind of business, negotiation, relationships, friendships. There's certain principles, which are, first of all, terrain. Who has the higher ground here? And a lot of this, obviously, is symbolic. Who has the higher ground? Who has more to lose? how can I situate this in a place where I am in the most comfortable position I possibly can be? A brief example is sitting so that you can see the door and you don't have your back to anything that could come at you. You know, a window, maybe you have the window behind you, maybe it's to the side. You know, you pick the most strategic placement of self. And then you have to think about the weather. And I think of the weather as also, you know, are you in a crowded place? Are you alone? What's the weather of this relationship? Are we friends? Are we lovers? Are we acquaintances? Are we business partners? All those things are going to change how you deal with this. And then, you know, it goes into things like loyalty. Do you how to have loyalty with your men, and who has the loyalty, and what do I have, what do you have? I mean, it's not really about things. It's more about where you're at when I say who has what. And if you know this person at all, you can see kind of where people are at. Listen to them. My mother always said, people will tell you all about themselves if you just listen. But a lot of times we want to see the best in people, so we fill in the blanks with our own story. And that can come around to bite us in the ass when we fill in the blanks. That also has something to do with rushing into, I like this person, I don't like a whole lot of people, and this person has these three aspects that I really like, and we had 3 hours together that were amazing. I think they're going to be in my life forever. All right, well, they may or may not be, but you don't know them, and most people send their representative in the beginning for a while. I mean, we all do. We don't know you. It's not going to be the same as just me hanging out with my best friend. Hey, what's up? You know, you don't need any backstory. So, of course, we all give a different face when we go talk to people. So to allow time to see what's happening, either in a situation or who this person is, you know, I'm sure that's one of the parts of the arts of war, time. How well do you know what you're dealing with here? And I think for this time period, erring on the side of patience and not jumping to conclusions and not letting all kinds of things just fly out of your mouth. You know, having some self-control. Because most of us are hearing new things now and are understanding new things about ourselves. So this can also be part of it. We've changed the script. We're all changing. So headbutting is going to be possible and probable. But it will show you a lot about who you are and who the people around you are when you see how they react to things and how you react to things. Pretty interesting. So if you allow people to just be, that means you're also allowing yourself to just be. And I think we all are looking for a little bit more, you know, we are also, oh, I don't have enough time. I want more time. You didn't give me time to express myself. Well, maybe we need to give ourselves time to express ourselves and move at our own pace and allow time to see how things unfold. I understand a little more about this idea of a wise man is silent more often and only speaks when he really needs to say something. Why? Why does the wise man do that? Well, because you can learn a lot more by not sticking your nose in it. Just boom, you know. You walk by the pile of shit in the road. Do you stick your whole face in it and go, wow, that smells like shit? No, you don't have to get that close. you just go, what is that? Look around. Oh, look, there it is. And keep going. You know, you don't have to rush in. We're fools. Where angels fear to tread, that's where fools go, you know. So, allowing a little time here and assessing the situation, doing more recognizance. I think that's really good, because then something annoys you and you go, okay, I'm just going to listen. I'm just going to and be present, you know, not shut down, because that's also like fighting. When you just go, well, I have nothing to say right now. All right, maybe you need more time, but you know, you can't keep pulling that card. Every time something gets heated, you just shut off. I mean, you might as well have just slammed a bottle of, you know, of the glass bottle over my head. It's the same thing, just the other direction. Passive aggressive, we call it. So, what was I going to say? I was thinking about the bottle and the beer smashing over people's heads. Taking time to see what's going on, not rushing in. Maybe I made the point. You know, sometimes this happens. Hello, other people in the chat room. Nancy, nice to see you. Sometimes this happens. Sometimes I forget my train of thought. So many things happening at once, but welcome. And, maybe real quick right now, I will throw in, if you would like a spirit therapy session with me, spirit therapy is to look at your beliefs and see how we can get them to all work for you instead of against you, and live a happier life through stories and conversation. You can contact me at Facebook, Spirit Therapy with Nicole. Send me a private message, or on my personal page, Nicole Tomasini, Tomassini. And we are also sponsored by DaughtersOfIsis.com, who makes aromatherapy, all kinds of, it's a catalog, encyclopedia of all your essential oils and misters and soaps and all kinds of things I've been using lately for the show, The Flying Dragon, which is a part of the yoga line. It is for self-knowledge, harmony, drishti, yoga alignment, and wisdom. And I like it because it is very helpful. You might like it too, Gia, being a Gemini. It gets all the circuits flowing and flying and moving around. So actually, starting the show today, I sprayed it like a lot. And Gwen, the blender of Daughters of Isis, usually will make a comment about, you know, you only need a little bit. But her good friend and partner, Asa, sprays it all over the place. And I noticed that I do too. So I sprayed it a lot. And I was like, wow, interesting. I wonder if maybe, you know, what will happen? Does that make your brain go in like 9 different directions? But no, you know, that happens naturally. And actually, that does bring me to a point of, you know, when somebody freaks out in front of you, you're probably having all kinds of thoughts in your head and all kinds of feelings. So to allow yourself time to digest all of those, because now we're processing more of ourselves, especially if we've been paying attention and paying attention to ourselves and what makes us happy. You know, you need a minute to see what's going on. So to take some time, and then you can always come back and say, hey, listen, you know, when blah, blah, blah happened, this and that. And if you really feel the need to say something. But I think also knowledge is power, and you understand certain things about people. And when it comes to free will, allowing people to do what they're going to do without having to change them, why would you say something? To change their behavior? To express that you don't like it? Okay. But let's see. Let's give it a minute. Let's see if this is a reoccurring theme, if this is just what they do, or if that was an isolated moment, before you have to say all kinds of things and have a conversation. Nobody likes to have a quote-unquote conversation. Hey, can I talk to you? hey, we kind of need to talk. Yeah. Does that feel good? That never feels good. So to let things ride a little bit, and then you can make an assessment whether you want to be around this person anymore or not. Now, of course, if they're a spouse or a child or a family member, somebody that, you know, is going to be around no matter what you do, some sort of communication, you know, is probably going to have to happen. But to give yourself time to figure out what's happening in your head. Why are you wanting to butt heads with this person? And why is this person wanting to butt heads with you? So it really is about understanding. And let's see, in the last 10 minutes, I took a couple notes. I'm going to address thinking of others. My time is valuable. And, oh, that's very interesting. Please tell me more. So thinking of others, a lot of people aren't thinking of themselves. So it's very difficult for them to think of others. And that's where a lot of these people, you know, that are just walking or stopping right at the mouth of the, where the train exits and everybody needs to go that way. And you're just standing there like a schmo. Clearly there's a lot of things happening in that person's head or nothing happening in that person's head. And so what are you going to do? You know, but for us to think of others without having to walk on eggshells around each other, I don't have a whole lot to say on that. I think it's just something that you have to find for yourself. What does it mean to think of others while also thinking of yourself? And really, I'm going to say always thinking of yourself first, because if you're not happy, nobody's going to be happy. And the only person that can make you happy is you. That's it. So if you want to be happy, you got to do it. And while living in this world where we all butt up against each other. And that brings me to my time is valuable. How do I want to spend my life? Do I want to spend my life with people that are just, you know, we're two rams just going at it on the mountaintop all the time? I mean, they do it for a reason. That's the way their, I'm going to say, culture goes. You know, we bang it out, but that's it. They don't just continue to bang it out. There's a winner and it's over. So, and sometimes maybe you do have to bang it out. Maybe I should address that real quick. Sometimes, okay, so you say it, you have it out. People say their piece. To just hold in your heart compassion. Just the idea, say, I'm going into this with compassion, even though I, you know, I really want to give it to them. All right. So whatever happens, happens. And not to take too many things too personally, whether they're coming your way. And if you're dishing them out, you know, hopefully you're dishing them to someone who understands, not to take them too personally. And especially, you know, as women, we like to take things personally. Because we feel so much. It's not, I don't want to say we like to take things personally. Maybe some of us do, but we just do take things personally because we feel it all. It's like a flood of emotions when somebody's like, rah, 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 in your head. You're just like, oh, wow. So for us to have some protection, that's where a little Athena energy can be helpful. Gwen makes a nice Athena oil, by the way. You know, Athena's the sword and the shield. So she's going to, the sword is, this is what's going on, strategy, figure it out, cut it up, boom, bam, boom. The shield is because things come back around. And, you know, some people are crazy. When you're out of balance, depending on the extent of your out of balance, you might as well be crazy. Do you need to be locked up? Well, probably not. You know, I don't know. That's a different conversation. But free will, that's what you're doing. Okay, so we need a shield. And again, when we're opening up to our throat chakra as a planet, that's what's happening. Expressing ourselves. How do we express ourselves? It's going to happen, and we're going to need a shield. And that's what we're all here for, to spar with each other and figure ourselves out. And then the last point is that's very interesting. Please tell me more. Because it actually comes from a South Park episode where one of the characters buys a book trying to, you know, talk to girls, and that's one of the phrases that he keeps using. That's very interesting. Please tell me more. And I was talking to Alex, the filmmaker, about it, and we were saying that there are different scenarios where certain things, you act a certain way. You're not going to act the same when you go to see, you know, your 84-year-old uncle as you do when you're hanging out with your girlfriends, as you do, you know, when you're yucking it up at the bar. So to be able to have different, to be mindful of knowing that, okay, before you go into this situation, you say, okay, this is the vibration of this situation. This is where I'm going. How do I want to feel? How do I, you know, just in general, because you can't really prepare for everything, you know, but just to get your vibe in place with what's about to happen. And then you talk accordingly, you know, you talk a little louder, a little slower to your older uncle. You know, with my older uncle, you got to get to the point. He wants to hear what you have to say, but if your story goes on and you talk too fast, he's, I don't know what she's talking about. And he's going to tune out. So, you know, I'm conscious of that, but I'm still going to be myself. And then in any situation, just you can find out so much if you just shut your mouth and ask people about themselves, because people love to talk about themselves. And if they don't like to talk about themselves, that also tells you a lot about them. I'm not saying it's good or bad. I'm just saying it says something, you know. But most people like to talk about themselves and will tell you all about themselves. So a little recognizance. I'm a big fan of the recognizance. And then when you do find yourself in some sort of head-butting situation, it's really too late. When you're already in it, like Abraham says, don't worry, hang on, it'll be over in a little while. Because you've got all kinds of things going, your emotional train is riding hard, and it's happening, man. You know, the bell has rung, and this guy has swung. So, do your best. Really, just do your best to have compassion. Do what needs to be done. Don't hurt too much. Don't take too many shots. And if you need to, remove yourself. And if you do end up fighting hard and maybe taking more swings than you wanted to, then go home and think about why. You know, not in a berating kind of a way. Oh, you know, I shouldn't have done that. It doesn't have to be that. I think it's better if you go, okay, well, I got really angry there. Like, what? Why? Why did I feel that way? And you'll know what your justification is. But, of course, violence is never the answer. And so, you know, and when you get angry like that, it really is violence. But, again, it needs to happen. And I think that's part of us healing our world, is to be able to also embrace Mars, the planet of war, and just the concept of war, that we understand war, we know that we can be warring, and therefore we never need to go to war again. You always want Mars to be sitting at your table, because he'll say, all right, this is where war can happen, and this is where it cannot happen, when Mars is balanced. So, you know, always knowing, always recognizance, always understanding. So, in 24 seconds, thank you so much, everyone, for joining me. Have a wonderful week. And let's see if I can find a little something. You know what? I think I'm just going to play the Metallica once again because, you know. Oh, check out Holst, the Bringer of War, for a real heart goer, and you can do some healing with it. It's very go, go, go. Just wanted to throw that out there. All right. Have a great night, everyone.